Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Darren Moser, joined, as always, by my fellow fleet commanders, Philip Gilfus and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, I got us matching starships. Never said I'd get you, didn't get you anything.
I was very surprised to show up today, because, I mean, you know that I'm on reserve status. I haven't done a push-up in 15 years, guys. I mean, but, you know, when duty calls, I will try to fit back into the uniform.
It's tough to do push-ups when you're eating all those pizzas all the time.
Yeah, it's true. Bunny corn sausage can be really fattening, as we all know.
Also, I'm not a fleet commander. I'm a fleet commodore. See what I did there? Yeah, okay.
Wow, yeah. Moving on from that great introduction. Yes, today we are going to be talking about the finale of Season 1 of Star Trek Picard. Latin something part two, also known as in Arcadia Ego.
You said it right.
Latin something. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we're lots to talk about, and let's do overall impression. You know, you can give it a 1 to 10. You can give it a. You know, it was better than this, but not better than that. Daniel, what was your overall feel for this episode as the finale for Picard?
Honestly, I'm having deja vu to Discovery days. The Discovery finale days, where it's always been this sort of hope. There's always this hope that maybe once all the cards are laid out on the table, all the pieces that they've chosen, all the story elements that we've seen, all the characters that we've been dealing with will kind of fit. And it's a fool's hope, because I was frustrated. I was annoyed and frustrated. I mean, there's a couple things I liked, but for the most part, I look at this whole story now. I can see the whole thing and I can just say, why did we, what was the point? Why are we here? I could do it about specific plot point. Why do we kill Picard? Why did, for something that he didn't have to deal with until the last two episodes, and suddenly it's a mortal thing, and why this and why that? I don't know. Just frustration for me. I'm disappointed, I'll be honest. But we'll get into it. I'm sure there's lots of things.
So they didn't stick the landing.
They did. Got not it. Stick the landing.
All right. What about you, Philip? On a scale of one generally replicated starship to 10 generally replicated starships. Or however you want to describe
it. You know, and I'm always cognizant of how I talk about Discovery, and I've talked about Picard, which has been, you know, mixed, I think, with Picard season one. I hate to be here and be the analytical, this sucks, and, you know, because obviously that's not very entertaining or interesting or anything at all. So I guess I think of it this way. It wasn't as bad as Star Trek Nemesis. I'm not trying to say that. But when I think about this episode, you know, there were emotional moments or poignant moments. And, you know, just like Nemesis, and I guess I'm not saying it was in my opinion, because I don't like Nemesis. I don't mean that in a bad way. But just like Nemesis, there are scenes that I would love to, like, show up on YouTube and play again. But, like, you know, the whole thing, but, like, you know, can I sit down and watch that final Picard data scene 1,500 times? Yeah, of course, I could. It'd be great. That's how I'd live my life. And then finding out that Issa, is that her name? The young actress who plays, you know, all the synthetics, Soji and all that, sang Blue Skies. I just recently learned that, so that was pretty cool to know that.
I didn't know that.
And then hearing the full cut of that song that's, you know, is now going to be on the soundtrack. You know, she does it very well, of course. So there were poignant moments. Overall, I have to agree with Daniel.
Star Trek, again, maybe my opinion will change by the end of this discussion, but Star Trek Picard was the 10-episode pilot that didn't need to be 10 episodes long to tell its story. And we finally got through the pilot, and now here we go. We all finally got on the ship, guys. We're all here, ready to second star to the right, engage.
Well, in many cases, and I don't know, you only know the behind-the-scenes answer. I was surprised, not in a bad way, I was surprised that Seven is being established as a full-time member.
That's true. I was not expecting that.
Has she gone up to Michael Dorn and be like, so, you think you had a long time in Trek?
With how long these seasons are, I don't think she's going to catch up to him anytime soon. Yes.
She certainly got a lot of character development in the last 30 seconds of the episode. Because not only did we find out that she is now an official crew member, but we find out also that she is...
hand-holding.
She likes holding hands.
Was I in a relationship with a character we've never seen her talk to before?
I noticed they were playing... What's that Vulcan game?
They're playing Kalto. They're playing Kalto.
That's right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe that's... So they did share one scene before.
That's where we literally see them playing it when they're holding hands.
Oh, sorry, you're right.
It's literally the same
scene. I think that's
scene.
Just how Seven distracts you when you're playing. You know, it's typical.
She's like, she holds your head and goes, are you sure you want to beat that piece there? Oh, no, you lost.
That's how she always beat Tuvok. You know, he'd be like, what the heck are you doing?
She's holding hands with Tuvok.
That would definitely distract him. He would, he would not like that very much. It would make him grumpy,
yeah,
for sure.
It's actually Naomi showed her that move, and so she picked up on it, so.
All right, so, yes, but... Rewinding back to the very beginning of the episode. All sorts of stuff's going on. Narex, all of a sudden at the crash site, because that's where he went. After the sister killed the synth, he left, and she didn't care that he was alive, so he went to the crash site, and he basically treats them that they're... Okay, then it's really weird. So, did anyone not expect that the sister was on the Borg cube? I somehow lost track of that. Because they did the whole, like, hologram, I'm there, I'm not there. And I totally expected her to be a hologram. But she's actually there. His sister is on... Rizzo is on the cube. And I'm like, okay. You just enjoyed the ride down? Because I didn't... I totally thought she left on the ships to go.
I guess not.
Derek.
I swear she left on the ships to go fight the fleet. And then it was I was more surprised that Commander O was at the helm. I'm like, when did she get here?
You're thinking about this, and I feel like that's going to
be... That's my job, Phil,
to think
about this.
It's
going to
be a five-hour episode if you're going to be thinking too much about any of this. Darren, she died really cool. That was cool, right? We all hated her, and she got vanquished by Seven, and Seven felt bad about it at the end. And I mean, that's the whole arc for Seven, Darren.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I think I much rather would have had her be assimilated or ripped apart by the XBs. I think that would have been more satisfying.
So, but okay, because if we now can understand the full context, her mission, although slightly exaggerated, because she wants to kill all the synths. Her mission is essentially to save the universe.
Right, right. Ostensibly.
She believes.
Right.
Well, I mean, she's not wrong. I mean...
She's not wrong.
I'm not saying her methods are correct, but, you know, as my wife was talking about the snakes coming out of the dimensional portal when we were watching, you know, those look like bad hombres.
Well, as I was telling Daniel earlier, Philip, this is basically the plot of Hellboy. Soji is the key to unlocking Hell's door with her synthetic fist, but at the end she changes her mind and closes the door so that the extra dimensional demons don't come through. It's literally the ending of Hellboy.
Yes.
Is the ending of this show. But all right, so yeah, Narissa's there. We're inside the artifact. We're talking about the flowers, and apparently he's a family disgrace. They're telling us a lot of stuff, but they don't show it to us.
So turns out Jat Vash are not female only. He tried to be part of it now?
I don't know.
Is this something they told us before? I don't remember this piece of information.
No, it's not.
Okay, I mean, now, when you brought that up, that it was female only, that's an interesting, and I don't want to call it a cult, but, you know, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, that's interesting for whatever reason. I mean, it's distinctive. I'll say distinctive over interesting. But it's distinctive. You know, some part of Romulan society where only the women, you know, I don't know. But it's interesting. But then just to be like, I don't know. No.
Yeah.
It's also, it's just so weird. I don't get it at all. We also find out that their parents died because of it. When did that happen? We're told
right then and there, Daniel.
Okay.
So
okay, a stupid question. Sorry, because now this is all coming back to me, and it's been 2 seconds since I watched it. Where was Narek at? What was the last thing we saw in Narek? Where is he at?
So
it's not the skip Narek, the end. Sorry, I was trying to remember.
No. Oh, like at the very end.
Oh, we talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah, we chatted about this before you got here. So he helped break into Synthville, and then the synths, as they're trying to jump Soji, the synths push him down and pin him down. That's literally the last time we see him.
That's all we know.
Okay.
Yep. So
we're assuming he's at Synthville?
Yeah.
Because no Federation ships stayed there.
Oh, they did their job.
Oh, my God.
They did their job.
We will get there.
Tick.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Starfleet out. Mic drop.
It's the fastest mission in the history of mission. Oh, anyway, we'll get there.
Hey, Will still gets his paycheck for a day of duty.
How do we not know that half of those ships were just holograms? Maybe they were just bluffing.
All of them.
And that's why they had to get out there. Okay, no.
But I'm just thinking, I assume, assumptions or whatever, Narek is now in play for season two.
Presumably.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's still in play. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't picked up unless he's either doing one of three things. Somehow Starfleet came back and picked him up. Two, he's living in exile on the Synth city, or he's helping people on the cube. That's literally the three things he could be doing.
I'm reaching, guys. I know. But all these questions we have, that still maybe can be explained in season two through him. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's true. He is the only surviving, like, sympathetic Zot Vash person we know, meaning, like, we could actually have a conversation with him without him trying to kill us.
Well, I mean, we're not synthetic, so, yeah.
But he essentially went through a redemption arc in this...
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Throughout the whole series.
Like versus all the other ones, the sister, Commander O, right. Any of the other Zot Vash, he's the only one who could actually still talk to us.
Right. So it's weird that we leave him in this nebulous place of we don't know what happens to him.
Who knows? Maybe he's locked up in the, you know, Siren's brig, and we just didn't know it.
In that parting shot where you have, because it's been a second, where you have all that whole crew there. You don't see in the background Narek like sort of.
He's looking.
No, he's like
window,
opening up a little can, little and he's waving to the camera, and then closes it.
All right, so back on the Siren, we use the Doctor's sonic screwdriver and fix
the power of imagination
intermix reactor.
Okay. Here's where
it was kind of funny where they're like the intermix reactor is fused, but we can't print more parts because the power for the replicator is fused. It's the catch-22 of Starfleet.
This is going to be jumping around a bit, but I want to talk specifically about this piece of technology.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. So the journey that this piece of technology has. So apparently the synths have this technology that uses your the power of imagination. So they have this amazingly powerful tool, by the way, which is amazingly and powerful and kind of world breaking.
And maybe that's how they built the beacon or something.
They don't have it. I mean, unless they have more.
The beacon was magically.
It was the same technology. Yeah,
see, when I saw the beacon being built, I was thinking Borg nanobots.
Oh, I like it.
Just because of the way it was being constructed.
Right, but I assumed it was imagination.
Imagination.
Okay.
Totally.
So they're already
the Imagitron.
They're already magic synths. Whatever. That's fine. We're going to talk about this little thing. This little doohickey.
Right.
Yeah.
So for some reason, the one synth, she gives it to Rafi, right?
That's back when they're all good friends.
They were kind of good friends. Right. But why? What was her motivation to give that technology?
To fix the ship.
It was specifically to fix
the
ship?
Yeah. Okay. And that's why they took it back to
the Serenity.
That's why they're back on the Serenity.
Yep.
Because after they leave, that's when it all goes down,
they're unsophisticated because you don't... I mean, parts don't cost that much, but labor is where you gauge the people, and, you know, they just basically gave it away. So, I mean, no, come on now.
So, when she gives Rafi this amazing piece of technology, Rafi's the only one there. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is around.
Right.
That's why she has to explain to
Rios
how it works.
Right.
Later on in the ship, by the way, they are using it in the aft part of the ship where the engine is.
Ooh, someone's got the blueprints.
The big lights.
But later on, and I'm jumping ahead just because of this piece of technology is only important at this part.
Agnes
is very much aware of what it is and what it does, and uses it very, 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 very well to
delete it scene.
So to duplicate herself out.
How deleted scene. Does she know what it is? And they just happen to leave it on the front console on the opposite end of the ship, which is fine, whatever, who cares. But how does she know what it is? She was never around when they told them
how
this worked.
But they've all been at the same but they've all been together before they make the plan to go. No, that's right. She's already in.
Her and Rios are like Imzadi now. They're so close. Their relationship is so powerful.
Wow.
The bond they have over guild sex, I mean, is something you don't understand, Daniel. And I'm surprised. Maybe, 24th century relationships. This is 25th.
We're almost
25th
there.
Century we're relationship. There. So, yeah.
I was just saying, it bothered me that, of course, this magic tool can not only fix the ship, but also buy them time when it's necessary. Like, this thing seems ridiculously overpowered. How do people just know how to use it? Anyways, whatever. I just wanted to talk
about
that.
Trying to think briefly. This is just a nerd thing. The history of holographic fakes. The Enterprise D,
right.
I suppose I have to be specific, used it right during the war games, right? Didn't it? Wesley?
Right.
No,
and
actually.
And the Picard and the Stargate.
It wasn't the Enterprise. It was the other ship.
No.
Riker. Wesley and Riker.
It was, and they were on board a...
I forget, but yeah.
No, they were also on board a Stargazer
class
ship.
You're right. So, and then I'm thinking, did Voyager use it at some point? Am I making that up in my head?
I don't believe Voyager did, but it's possible.
I can't remember. Because remember when they accidentally projected the Doctor out in space, and he's like,
Well, also in the one where the Ferengi brainwash Picard to redo it. Picard redoes it, and the Data has to come up with a way to defeat it. Really,
well, that's
quickly.
That's the Picard maneuver,
and that's right.
That's not a holographic.
That's what.
That's
a sensor. We're talking about.
I did.
Oh,
like,
you're right. You're right.
I did like when she said, "Oh, the thing you did on the Enterprise," and he says, "No." Was the Stargazer, and it was a long time ago. I like that. That was a nice little touch.
She's not Starfleet, and she's a scientist that would never learn about starship tactics. But no, it's great, guys. It's great.
Well, but I could see her learning about Picard because Picard is directly attached.
So
to
So in
Data
the Picard
in
obit, you think Picard maneuvers second sentence?
That's a great question.
It's named after
you think,
him.
Fortunately, he doesn't die long enough to get an obituary.
Defeated
that's
the Borg,
a great question.
Picard maneuver, hates children. I mean, I assume that's the...
Hates one. All right. So back on Synthville, the beacon is being constructed. Soon shows Jurati, because I called it, Jurati's totally just playing. She's like, I'm going to get locked up if I don't pretend I'm going along with it. And she's like, I'm not their mother. You know, I hate you all.
Now, and sorry. Previous episode, Soji say, I know if you're lying?
It wasn't Soji.
Evil
it was
Soji.
It was the evil one. Evil Soji. Said I would know you were
lying.
Was... Apparently not.
Okay.
I'm assuming that maybe her, like, emotional intention was the same. It was just the way she was going to go about it.
Did she have her fingers crossed behind her?
Well, she was facing away from her at the time.
Oh, okay.
So she couldn't see her pupils. Her hair was blocking all of her
face. That's true.
She couldn't see.
That's true.
You know, it could just
be. Was it a holographic face? Because we know she has that power now.
Not yet. We haven't gotten to the jumping scenes. But, okay, so now we jump back again to. Rios on the bridge, and the abrasive Romulan boyfriend is throwing rocks at the ship. And they're like, oh, we're going to shoot you. It's like, oh, but I have this molecular solvent grenade, and I'm throwing rocks means I want to parlay. He's basically saying parlay. Parlay.
Either that
parlay,
or he's trying to get the girl to come out of her window at midnight because her parents won't hear, I assume.
See, holding up the duffel bag and it's playing like a Romulan love ballad. So, yeah, so he's basically like, let's work together. Then we cut back
He's been redeemed, guys.
Yeah.
Well, just, I mean...
Oh, he's totally redeemed.
Again, at this point, it's not that he's redeemed. Everybody's working toward the same goal of stopping the evil... what's her name? Soji. Soji literally the is Soji. The villain right yeah. now. Yeah, Soji...
No, well, but now it's going to be
yeah.
Soji.
No, he's Soji... Yeah, actually... no, at this point, Soji is on the bad side.
Right.
Like, she's been on the bad side
That's
since
true.
The last episode.
Yeah.
So...
So yeah, they talk a lot about like Romulan words like Garmadon and blah blah blah. And then Eleanor shows up out of nowhere and choose to live. He does choose to live.
Well, I do.
Man, we're cutting back and forth a lot,
well,
guys.
I mean, and I, this is an original thought. I know everyone has said that, but I was been yelling at my screen for the past 5 weeks. Ragnarok, 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 and someone's like, "Oh, Ragnarok." I'm like, "Ah." They heard me on the TV. Finally. Goodness.
That's true. He says, what is it, like Armageddon or Ragnarok?
No, Judgment Day. He's, Judgment he specifically Day, yeah. mentions an MCU movie and a Terminator movie.
Yeah.
So. He's smart, like, yeah. wait, you mean X-Men Apocalypse? And like, don't do that.
No, no, not that one.
So, yeah, so then we're back in Soon's lab. Jurati's trying to transfer Sagra's memories to a V-module. And they talk about the... Golem, and she asks him to go decrypt something, but while she does, she rips Sagra's eye out to use it to
her good
get past
one.
The eye
right.
sensor.
Her good eye.
The good one, because apparently eye sensor totally can't tell that it's been ripped out of the body, but hey guys, just so you know, now we're back inside the site.
Wait,
man,
wait, I just
want to
say, what is the
lot.
Number of eye gouges we're at now in the series? Is this 2, 3...
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it happens a lot. So we're back there. Eleanor wonders why we're trusting Narek, so, otherwise known as the jealous
it, oh, exactly.
boyfriend.
So I like abusive. It adds to it. and I'm not skipping to the end. We don't have to talk about it. But I'm just saying, originally, or I guess throughout this episode, the golem, I mean, what do you all think the golem is going to be used for? I'm not saying let's talk about the ending, but I'm saying at any point you're like, oh, now this is going to be for him. I mean, because I know last episode we talked about who we thought it was going to be, and we each had like a million answers.
Yeah.
As this episode was going, where were your thoughts about who's the golem? Because I thought like, well, maybe it's Soon, I guess, right? But I don't know.
I think initially it was meant to be for Soon, you know, not just plot-wise, like he was working on it for right. himself, but... Because otherwise, why would you just build a golem? Like, for the heck of it, you know?
Why can't you just do it again now? Part of the problem with this episode, and we'll get to it again.
I guess he could.
Like Philip talked about the ending. We've now broken... We've killed death, essentially. We can talk about the other ways Star Trek has done
it. No,
before.
No, no. We didn't make him immortal,
but,
Daniel. We
although,
put in a
but it wasn't
timer.
No, but that was literally an option. They
that's
said,
an add-on.
We made it so you weren't... Yeah, we'll get... We'll get
it's
he
an add-on.
Standard. You know.
We'll get to that.
No,
he didn't
no
get the
rims,
tow package.
No sports package. No. The tow package.
Rust proofing? Did that come in? No one. All right, and we'll get into it.
Anyway, this is the scene actually where we talk about all the Romulan words and very bad demons and.
Well,
just,
I did think it's
who knows.
Well, I was gonna say interesting in as much as it is, you know, with abusive boyfriend talking about Romulan myths. And I do like Eleanor, because it's interesting, because I forget at times, I mean, we've seen him so much, right, ha ha ha, I forget he's actually Romulan. I mean, and so I'm always like, oh, they're, I mean, you know, being the same species doesn't mean anything.
Oh, that's but true. They also, I mean, one's clean shaven and one's not, and they do look
yeah,
very
but,
different.
But I like how he's correcting her. He's like, yeah, there's these three, you know, beings. He's like, demons. They were demons. Eleanor's like, this is a fairy tale. You're leaving out the fairy tale portion. Stop trying to make it believable. Because I like how he tells, abusive boyfriend, tells right. the story. And everyone's like, he's like, did you know about this? Did you know about this? They're like, no, we didn't know about that. I'm like, yeah, it's still a myth. I don't, that doesn't, adding on.
Did you know about Billy Goat? He totally was gross. It's like, that's basically what he's
I'm
saying.
Like, just because you say it in an ominous voice doesn't make it real. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish there was way more skepticism in that scene, honestly. I mean,
Eleanor was bringing it, but I needed a human to bring it.
Right, right. Well, yeah, because both Rios and Rafi are like, what? These are the end of days? And it's like, come on, guys. You've probably heard 8 trillion different versions of this. This should be easy enough to see through. But I think that's a tonal difference between what we call Legacy Trek now and New Trek, mm-hmm. where it's just like prophecy means a whole bunch now, and the one of this species could be the one to destroy the universe. Like, all this sort of stuff is just so silly. But anyways, we'll keep going. Keep this.
All right, so we got a plan, guys. The plan is soccer.
Football.
And we're going to put the molecular solvent inside the soccer ball. And so they approach the main gate, where they're stopped by two synths who compensate. And they're like, hey, guy, you play? Like, they're ready to start a game then.
You know,
like,
you have football fans. They're ready at any given moment.
So then back in the station, Girardi's has the eyeball, uses it to get into Picard's quarters.
Do you not know a jailbreak when you see one?
Yeah, pretty much. They're trying to get out. And also we see that the synthetic matrix for the golem is complete.
Wow, what timing.
Yeah.
That's really convenient.
Ding!
Okay.
It's ready to receive neural engrams. Yeah, ding.
Well,
yeah.
And I'm trying to win, because Picard is... It's supposed to be poignant, and it probably is, but in my mind, when I was watching the episode, and Agnes breaks in, and Picard's, like, on the bed, you know, she's like, come on, and he's like, yeah.
He's like,
yeah, no, he's
nap.
Like, you I'm know. Older, okay, we need sleep, you know.
He's all
well,
groggy.
This is also where a kind of a plot change happens, because Soong sees the memory that it was Sutra who killed Saga through
right.
the eye.
Okay, we need to talk about this, because this is probably the most pivotal switch in the episode. This actually saves the entire universe. So I want to talk about...
Is Soong being on their side.
Yeah, I want to talk about Soong's motivation up until this point and how big his shift is and how small it's played. So up to this point, he is a human being, totally willing to destroy all other organic life in the entire universe.
Who has been helping make...
He has an escape.
Yeah,
he has an escape plan. Gollum.
That's fine.
You know.
Yeah, he wants to become a synth.
You better hurry
up. Yeah.
He is also a member, not just the president of the club.
But as soon as he finds out that Golden Soji,
Evil Soji,
killed the other one,
Sutra, but Evil Soji,
he decides that biological annihilation on a galactic scale just isn't worth the time. Honestly, you know what? They're just like we are, so I'm going to completely switch sides. Everything I just... So now what? He completely pivots here on something... I mean...
Well...
I don't know.
I think...
It frustrates me.
Well, and I'm not saying it takes it away from anything, but it's obviously quite similar to an episodes he was in... without makeup, about his creations that everyone saw were pretty evil, but he was like, no, they're fine.
Oh,
and then
end
up coming... Yeah, I mean,
that.
It's the same story. I mean, and I'm not saying that in a derivative, like, oh, they're just repeating themselves. I mean, they're different stories, but thematically, it's the same role.
But I'm talking about specifically about the consequences of these actions. This is
right.
not something that you should...
He goes from, like, 11 to 1. Yeah. He's like, well, you know... Galaxy-wide genocide. Actually, let's stop it.
Let's just not do that.
It comes more like he's just disappointed. Not that he necessarily wants to stop them. He's just disappointed in her. Because I think an issue, and then your mileage may vary, is that every other synth that is not Evil Soji or Soji has zero personality. It's just, what do you want us to do? Are we taking over the world?
Hey, that one guy totally wanted to play
right,
against
okay,
soccer.
Like, okay,
that is
you're right,
so
you're
much
right.
personality.
But no one else has any, like...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the heck they want to do. Are they on board? Or they just seem open to peer pressure is what I'm saying.
And to be fair, Evil Soji...
And is she the leader?
Evil Soji's only personality is that she's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And Soji's personality is completely dictated by the terms of the plot. Because, again, she's only known Picard for 2 days. But she's also only known that she's been a synth for 2 days.
Yeah.
And she, of course, is absolutely willing to kill every living thing. I can't stress this enough, that these people are willing to kill every living thing on every living planet that's ever been, ever is. They're killing everybody. And then they're very, very quickly and very easily convinced. I would think that you would need some sort of conviction. You'd really have to believe in the cause that you're doing to actually...
Don't they say they're children?
That's what Picard says.
Whatever. They don't realize.
But whatever. It's so easy to convince her not to kill everybody. Don't do it anymore. And then all of a sudden she's like, whatever. We'll get to it at the end when she's like, oh, now we're all friends again. Don't worry, guys. I wasn't going to kill you
well,
all.
Do I want to bring up the point? I know we're not there at the end. Like, Agnes still has to report to Deep Space 12 for a murder charge in case anyone...
That.
Anyway, sorry.
We'll get there. Okay, so back on Les Internet, Picard and Geraghty... Now it's Picard and Geraghty there. So they missed each other, I guess, crossing... They took different paths, who knows. So they're Brent now on the ship, and it's empty. 7 minutes from planet fall. And so that's where... you know, we have to figure out, you know, what's going to happen. You know, they talk a lot. This is where they try to shove, like, the whole, you know, oh, they're generations beyond us. No, they're children. You know, their only teachers were hermits and, you know, they fear
toxic masculinity.
And,
that was their only teachers. I mean, and it's not...
Picard says we have to give them an example.
Well, my issue here... And it's fine, whatever. This is the part where I'm going to go with it. But in retrospect, because it's one of the things like you're watching it going, you know what, Picard must have a plan. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to see it and I'm going to be like throwing my fist in the air. And I'm like, oh, there wasn't a plan. No, it was just I'm going to fly the ship up here and, I don't know, kill me guys. And that's the plan. I mean, that's a horrible plan.
His plan was to sacrifice himself and trust that the girl that knew him for 2 days cared enough about that to stop
the one out of 500 warbirds will shoot him with 2 shots, and then what happens next? She'll be like, oh, no.
Credits roll. Da, da, da,
I know.
Da,
I mean, it's like it's a terrible plan.
So that's his plan. So he tries to fly the ship and...
Why not just fly into
it
with a ship?
Take off. So now we go back to Synthville because
it's like Star Wars here.
That's the nature of this show. And Sutra, Evil Soji, addresses her brothers and sisters who don't raise any objections, as you noted. But it'll open when the signal's sent because now it's a portal.
Remember, they just call it a beacon.
But now it's a portal.
But now it is a portal generator. So either... Yeah. Here's the problem with it.
The portal will open once the signal is sent.
Right. So, So that's what they say. If this thing is just a beacon, as soon as the beacon goes out and we watch the beacon go out and the portal, whatever, they receive the signal, and once they open the portal, there's no closing it. That's it. The beacon has been
apparently
sent.
It's like a connection. Like if you hang up on one end, it just disconnects the line, apparently. I don't know. Good thing it is that way, because otherwise... so that's where Soon approaches and says, oh, hey, here, I'm giving you the hummingbird road back that you used to kill your sister.
Also, I have to say, I hope Soon... I forget his first name. It's something stupid. But anyway, I hope Soon had a backup plan, because one thing I was kind of scared of is that like he boldly accuses Evil Soji, and she's like, yeah, you're right, and then like crushes his neck and he dies. I mean, like... You know, when you're dealing with an angry android, you might have to have a backup plan, and they're not just going to kill you in 2 seconds.
Well, he has a Men in Black memory flasher thing.
Oh.
And that's what he gets to use on.
I mean, the whole...
I don't know why we don't use that on Soji and just call it good.
I forgot about that. I thought you were joking for a second. I'm like, oh, no, that literally happened.
He pulls it up, and it goes boop, and she, like, falls unconscious.
And we never see her again. So it either kills her or completely incapacitates her.
She went to storage with Lore, who we've,
who we never, of course, got to see.
All right.
Well, and what's funny is, so he does that, which means that Maddox and Soon built in a kill switch in every synth in their Utopia synth.
I would too.
You would not have an off switch?
Yeah. I mean, I would too, honestly, but that's me. I'm curious, this is just for the sake of nerddom. Is it specific to her? Is it a general stun setting or offsetting or whatever it is? And is there like a radius, or is like, in other words, was it just like someone who has to be like within kill zone?
Well, didn't they use that in what was it?
It's coming to me. Yeah, keep going.
In Nemesis.
Insurrection.
No, not Nemesis.
Yes, you're right.
where they dock with Data's shuttle.
Worf has to hit it a couple times.
And they're like, and Worf is like, bup, 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 and it like does it. It's just like, it's he's not close enough, and then Data lunges, and it's like, bup, 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 and then he goes, yep. Boom!
Yep, you're right, you're right, you're right. There you go.
So, yeah, which is true. Although, this is, okay, this is what's weird about this scene. So, yeah, that happens where he knocks her out. Then they have the moment where they throw the grenade, Soji catches it and throws it away. Literally after this moment, it's like every synth, like, I don't know if it's just the shots that they use and the angles, but it feels like the city becomes deserted and is empty. Like, the weird, the shots that they use for the remainder of the
makes
shots
you think
in
all
the
twins
synth
went home.
Yeah, it's like they all left. I don't know.
Well, no one told them what to do. So they're like, do we just stand here?
The extras were done.
Do
for
you
the
need
day.
Us to welcome in? So I have a question. Yeah. I don't know where else to fit this question in the plot. Maybe it comes here. But this is a question about Soji. And maybe it's a question about all of them. Because I guess to an extent, because she's theoretically the newest model, right? So they all, like all of them, all synthetics in that city are children of Data. Would that be, you think, correct to say?
Who knows? I think they're all soon tied.
Well, I mean, you know, if we're emphasizing...
Well, like he talked about, their positronic matrix could be recompiled from a single neuron of Data. Like, that's what they say.
And then, because also, I mean, that it brings to question how evil Soji's evil. Sure, they didn't get the lore molecule there. But anyway, I'm putting that aside for a second. Because my question was this. An intriguing to me part of this whole mystery of Soji and her Dodge and all that is where did they get it? Like, and it really only needs a line. I mean, it's not like a whole plot point necessarily. But, like, I needed, like, yes, we went to the Romulan sector and, like...
They said... They said Maddox picked it up.
From where?
Maddox. Yeah, Data... When Data says... Like, think about it. So, I mean, jumping to the end when we see Data in the memory module. He says he is a reconstruction of Data's mind or essence or whatever... From the B4 down.
And so that raised to me more questions because they, to me, throughout the series, were emphasizing you need Data, you need Data, you need Data. Even though they show us in what, episode 2 or even 1 maybe, the drawer of B4. And I'm like, wait a minute. So if it was there the whole time, for the Troy Riker's kid, why didn't they just use B4's head?
Because he wasn't active.
Well, I mean, They're not building a new synth. It's already established. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
no, I know what you're saying.
The positronic matrix may not be mature enough, or whatever.
An active positronic matrix.
Plug it into the head. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed like once, and maybe I'm slow in the uptake of like just obviously it was always B4. I mean, whatever you want to say, because then isn't it really all B4's kid? I think we're losing B4's agency here if we're just saying Data. I mean, anyway, you could just say lore for that reason, really. Why is it? Anyway, no, the download. I get it.
They definitely address it, and they say that Maddox went and got a positron.
Presumably from,
I guess, the remnants of the scimitar.
I guess they didn't... They didn't finish that sentence. I just never got... Yeah. I mean, I assumed.
They kind
but
of.
But I would have liked to at least know that. Because, you know, I mean, and again.
You're right. There was something about recovering it from the scimitar wreckage or something like that.
You
don't say scimitar, no. But.
I know, yeah. It's really weird. There's a couple of, like, really obvious
things.
Super
implied.
That they just skirt and dance around. And the scimitar is one of them. And I know I'm jumping ahead too, but, like, the fact that Data keep. They have a whole conversation about sacrificing himself. For Picard, and it's like, well, it wasn't just for Picard, it was for like the entire Federation at that point, or whatever the scimitar was going.
True.
He was
going
to kill all of Earth, right. And like it was kind of a big deal. I mean, I get the most personal part
was the
of
transporter thing, but still,
right? But still,
well, I mean, you're right, but he also Picard could have sacrificed himself just as easily as Data in that moment. So in that regard, he was sacrificing for Picard.
But it wasn't just Picard, because, I mean, yes, of course, Picard easily...
No, no, I know. But
it's more that he saved
because
Picard.
Because both of them were over. Yeah, he saved... But I'm saying Picard could have just as easily shot the, you know, the intermix thing. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying in that moment, I could see how
that's
you're...
Fine. That's a nitpicky
that
thing.
Moment
that's
is... is nitpicky. Okay. All right, but guys, we got to kill Nerissa real fast. So we zip over to the Borg cube. I bet you was wondering what was going on over there. And so she's activating things. I'm still not 100% convinced she's actually there. I'm still expecting her to become some sort
emergency
of hologram.
Emergency beam out.
But, yeah, we'll do that. And so she basically is going to try to shoot down Spock's shuttle. I mean, Picard's ship. And that's when Seven of Nine fights her and knocks her off into death.
Knocks her off into death.
That's for Hugh. Yeah, so they close that plot loop, I guess.
And this is skipping ahead to Seven's remarks, but... You know, there's a difference. I mean, I'm not. You guys know this. I'm not saying this to you. But there's a difference between her killing Nerissa and her killing, you know, Bar Lover Lady. I mean, Bar Lover Lady
a very big
was
difference.
Just sitting there like, please don't kill me. True. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I'll give you whatever. And she just shoots her in the face and whatever. Nerissa is actively trying to kill her. I mean, there's a I mean, I'm not trying to get legalistic here. That's self-defense, yeah. Clearly. I mean, she can say this is for Hugh, but it's also like this is for not killing me also and everyone else. But anyway.
Right.
She shouldn't feel bad about the second one. First one, feel bad.
No, she should not.
Second one, not so much.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So, bye, Nerissa. We hardly knew ye.
But see, I'm not trying to poke any bears, but do we know we'll never see her again, really?
Oh, God.
We didn't see a body.
Emergency transporter.
Not only did she die pointlessly, but
it lives.
We never see the reaction of the person closest to her. So her death is almost completely meaningless in this context. But okay, that's fine. Whatever, she's dead.
Yeah.
This also leads me to a question of what happened to the artifact in the ex-Borg as we see Seven flying away at the end. But we're not there yet, anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Not only what happened, but what was the point? Let's go all the way back to episode one. I don't want to do this rant right now, but we'll get into it.
Yeah. So, back in the battle of...
there's no way this has a battle name, Darren.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
isn't Binary
the
Star.
The planet of...
Battle of the Two Red Moons
with lightning effects.
So Picard's flying the ship with lightning effects, and this is when she talks about the Picard maneuver. Oh wait, that actually exists. Trademark, can't
copyright.
Say it. That's actually a Stargazer. Blah blah blah.
Before you're setting this up, Darren, and there's one very specific point that I really want to bring up. So all 200. Mini warbirds, or whatever we're calling them.
209, yeah.
They show up.
Right.
Very, very far from the planet. They show
well,
up
social distance.
Now, this... Yes. This matters to... Science, at least on the surface, mattered significantly to Star Trek. This bothers me to no end. They show up very, very far from the planet. And we'll find out later how far from the planet, because not only does Picard come up from the planet to confront them...
They leave him for Jesus and a fleet.
The entire Federation fleet warps in between the planet and the Romulan fleet. Anyways, the point is, as soon as they show up, they cut to Synthville, and you hear this weird noise, and all the synths look
science.
Up and see the ship.
Science.
Oh, you're right.
Science.
So they can hear...
And see.
By the way,
I forgot
they
about
hear
that.
These ships coming into orbit, and then they look up and they see them, and... No.
Oh, I got the feeling it was an alert that was triggered.
No.
Like
was.
Alarm.
You can see them in the sky.
Yeah. Also.
Well, you know, Delta Vega is right there. You could totally
on a clear
see
day.
Vulcan
oh, yeah.
be destroyed on a clear day.
Well, I did notice, and I don't always pay that close attention.
I forgot about that.
I also noticed that the ship looked different, because it looked more like what you were talking about last episode, Daniel. It did seem like a... Warbird-esque, like it wasn't the Bird of Prey, like that one ship we saw close up of seemed like a new mixture. Was it different? It looked different to me than what we saw in the past. Like they seemed thinner and flatter.
Well, there's one that's the command ship, and then all the others.
So
are
my only
that are
and I don't know if hopefully it's not purposeful, but then again, when it's not, that's even worse. I was thinking of another evil ship that shows up in a former Star Trek writer's property, where you have this light. On the bottom of the front of the ship that kind of goes back and forth. This one was green, not red, so it's clearly not a Cylon ship. But I'm saying it's very close.
It did have a bit of a Cylon feel. But anyway, so we're talking about the Picard maneuver. Girardi uses Sagra's tool to create multiple projections of her face, which was kind of a funny moment for like 2 seconds. Give me two seconds. So then Soji's still working on her
Darren,
transmitter.
Darren, for an android, that's a lifetime.
That's a lifetime. And so she opens a channel with Picard. He urges her to power down the beacon. And he says he's giving his life and then closes the channel. And she's like, what?
Yeah, what?
Again, why does she care? Why does she care? Why would she care, Picard? She's known you for 2 days.
Also, the I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to go into this because it's a plot, it's a show, it's all this stuff. I mean, to complain about it is to complain that rain is wet. But his aromatic syndrome is on point with timing, I gotta say. You know, it is. and I guess maybe this is stupid, but I'll offer this suggestion for me to make it less contrived. And this is me. I don't know. If they had said at some point in this episode, maybe, because, you know, you forget after 3 episodes or even in the previous son with his doctor or whatever, that he's, by doing active stuff, by whatever,
he's exacerbating
that it. Would have been because, and then this isn't the time for me to talk but this about this issue, but when we talk about Picard sacrificing, he's not sacrificing him. I mean, when it happens,
he's going to die anyway.
And that's not a sacrifice. I mean, because, you know, anyway. But, I mean, okay, like, if he, like, blow me up, Romulans, that's a sacrifice. But I died naturally is not a... But anyway, go ahead.
Well, we learned about it in the second episode. And then he passed out last episode. So that's enough.
Right.
That should be enough for you to know that not only is it
going
downhill...
Well, the only reason he passed out last episode is to remind us.
Right.
Because episode two was so long
previously
ago.
On Star Trek Picard, Jean-Luc.
So it's gone from zero... consequences, zero effects of this disease, to passing out once, to dying the next day. So it's like, it's a pretty big
is the who wrote All Good Things? It's Braga and Moore, right? Is there a copyright where they can't say aromatic syndrome?
Yeah, that's what was weird. It's like, why don't they just call
it's
weird.
Synaptic anomaly. Like, am I buying like the generic bag of cereal? I mean, what's going on here?
I don't know why they can't say it. It's very strange.
Yeah. So Ship is about to fire on the Abomination's nest.
She got really
Picard activates his holographic fleet. Apparently they're going to now wait, let's attack this fleet before we destroy the... You have plenty of ships. I don't know why they don't just start...
Just throw one torpedo down there.
100.
One torpedo and you're
done. 100 take the fleet, 100 take the planet.
Well, and you
never split the party.
The city is on... the coast, you can literally just like shoot the ocean and a tidal wave will take them out in about 5 minutes. Like, you could just do that. But
if Narissa was able to beam down, I mean, if you want to do it down and dirty, just beam down your soldiers.
Well, no, they still had a transport.
How did Narissa get down
on there? Narissa was already on the Borg cube,
presumably.
Okay.
She's been on the Borg cube the whole time. I don't know why, but she has been on. She like never left the cube. That's what was so weird. Is I swore that
I
she left.
She did too.
In
Sorry,
a ship.
Go ahead.
Maybe not. I don't know. But hey, guys, it's the moment you've all been waiting for.
Dun,
at that
dun,
moment,
dun, dun,
a large fleet dun, of dun, identical dun. Copied Federation ships, real this time, drop out of warp, form around the flagship. The USS Zheng-He, Captain William
Reserve.
Riker informs Reserved. Retired. That under the terms of the Treaty Alderaan, we're pulling that out there. We're pulling it.
I did. You know, hey, it gave me the member berries. I was excited to hear the Treaty of Alderaan. But,
which Will has a new belief in. So, you know.
So, that under that the Coppelius is under Starfleet. And, I mean, actually, they had a little bit of back and forth. Because O is like, no, our claim is first. And then Riker's like, actually, Picard called us yesterday. So that trumps your
and
claim
for
today.
And for third-party arbitration, I choose the Shiliac.
The Grisella. But unfortunately, they're in hibernation right now. If you're willing to wait.
No, I'm just going to say that. I mean, I know you're about to say it. But that, I mean, the fact that this ends in not violence. Well, I mean, you know. There's been violence. But at this part, no torpedoes get fired. I mean, it's Star Trekian. I mean, I'll give them a star for that.
I mean, you could think of the Neutral Zone episode with Picard and
Tomalak.
I think it was that episode. And Tomalak with the, like, the Klingons, where it's like, we'll die together. Oh, I was thinking of the Defector, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Riker boasts that he's on the bridge of the toughest, fastest, most powerful ship in Starfleet.
It's overpowered, I'm telling you.
And he's a fleet of them at his back. Nothing would make him happier to give him an excuse to kick her Tal Shiar. We've totally dropped the Zad Vash. Nobody cares about it. I don't know why it wasn't just Tal Shiar the entire time. I think that would have worked just as well.
I would have loved, after that speech, he's like, kick your Tal Shiar ass. And then one of the people next to him goes, oh, Captain, we don't swear here on Starfleet. Oh, sorry.
I'm reserved, ass. So she orders her fleet to retarget. Well,
can we talk
weapons.
About this moment? I think we should talk about this moment. Because I want to know what you guys think. Was this satisfying to you in any way? Or, it felt really flat. Like, disappointingly flat for me. I knew this was definitely a possibility that this was going to happen.
Well, you predicted it, Daniel.
Yeah. And I was excited. I was excited to see Riker, but it felt so empty. Everything about it, between the ships that were presented, between the bridge, how it was shown, between, like, the two disinterested extras that they put behind Jonathan Frakes, and, like, the completely emptiness of the rest of the bridge. It just didn't feel like a real ship. It didn't feel like a real... The stakes didn't feel high at all.
We can add more ships, Daniel. Do you need more ships? We can add them. Add up the stakes.
I did like the moment. It did have some cool feels. Do I agree in the grander scheme of the episode? Did it really play out how we kind of wished? Probably not. But I feel it was still a good moment. Like, it's fan service of fan service.
Yeah,
but we kind of like once in a while.
Because one thing what's the name of the episode? Nepenthe, sorry. Can't believe I know that. But anyway, I enjoyed that episode, obviously, very much, as we all did. But one thing I was complaining about, as we're complaining about with every, is there was no Captain Riker. It's all like Commander Riker. I'm like, no, he's a captain. I don't know why we're not acknowledging that. And so to see Captain Riker show up, in the new Starfleet uniform, which is cool, very cool looking. The pips are a little weird looking, but that's whatever. I can get behind it. It's fine. So that's kind of a cool shot. But I guess, and I'm not one who cares about CGI, good, bad, song. That's the last thing I'll ever remark on. And yet here I go. For the 2020 or 2019 or whenever it was made, it's pretty bad CGI, I'll say it. It's pretty bad CGI. I mean, out of Discovery and the rest we've seen in Picard, they've done good stuff. I mean, that's just the copy-paste ship 500 times. It just seemed a little...
It did feel like we don't have the budget to do this like DS9 did, with a ton of really cool different ships.
So
we're instead going to just copy.
So it has been suggested that this episode was still being produced up to very recently, and that maybe the production, the special effects production,
just ran out of time.
Didn't have, right, because of the situation that's going on, didn't have the time, budget, manpower to do this show.
The CGI was going to be delivered next Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, but it would have still been copies, though, because his line is, I'm on this ship and I have a fleet of them.
Right.
His ship... So
I'm just saying,
it may have just looked better.
It has been suggested.
We may have gotten closer to the ship.
Right, yeah. It has been suggested. And if that's the case, I guess I understand, and that's kind of fine. But it's like, in context of the whole thing, there are two slightly different models. The nacelles sweep a little bit different.
I did notice.
And they push... Yeah, they push some of like the Bassard collectors a little bit forward.
Oh, okay.
But it's very, very...
But they're pretty...
It's two
pretty
ships.
It's very, it's very close to each other, and they're really...
Half of the ships are in process of being refitted into the A.
It's the modified version refit.
Yeah.
They're really ugly, and it just... It's like really rudimentary. And I know, I get it. It's not the point of the episode, or whatever. But if this is going to be your big... This is like the big climax of everything.
Imagine if it had been all of those ships show up and then like the E drops in at the very front.
Right.
Like that's a moment.
Or even the Titan. You show a close-up of the Titan.
He pulled her out of service or something. Yeah.
Right? Something.
Yeah.
But it just feels like... because
all we got was that Riker showed up.
It's not helped by the way the whole scene plays out. Big, generic... fleet number one and big generic fleet number two. They come at each other, then they chat for a bit, and then everybody just leaves. And there's no point.
Honestly, I was expecting, like, the AI aliens to start coming in, and then they both have to unite to fight them. That's what I thought was going to happen.
You Avengers. Know, like,
common enemy time.
Yeah, something.
No.
Nope. So Picard is... So this fleet shows up. Picard is gripped with pain in his head. He gets an old school hypospray of 20 cc's. He opens a channel to Soji. Apparently talking really fast because they're not shooting at each other yet. But,
yeah, that was
and, you know, says, hey...
He opens it up to everyone. Know. That's why. They're all watching TV, too.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he opens it, and then he says, hey, the Federation, if we wanted to destroy you, we would have. Great. That's open right. in line.
Well,
yeah. But basically, I'm trusting you, and then... That's when she smashes the transmitter controls and the beacon / portal generator is closed. And now, so then now it's O, and then all of a sudden O still decides, let's stand down because it's over. Like, they can't build another one, or like the threat is still
I mean, yeah,
there.
They know how to build the beacon, and they've shown they've done it once. I mean, I'm not advocating like killing synths, but I'm just saying, in their eyes.
The Jadvash have no reason to stand down at this point.
They really don't.
But she does.
She does. And then we get a nice chat between Captain Riker.
I was just thinking, is it... Well, for one thing, I was thinking when the spider arm, or Dr. Rock arms came out, did you have shades of Discovery with Control?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, haven't we seen that before? No? Okay.
What I thought was, what's to stop them from coming through anyway now?
Yeah, because as Daniel said, they say the word beacon a million times. So if the beacon is shut off, why is the portal
closed? So is this like
Q-Who?
Now we know they're coming. Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe.
It's true.
It's stupid. I don't mean to harp on it. But like...
I mean, if they called it the gateway or
but
something,
the, and,
you know.
And this is their words, not ours, but if this is the gods of the sense, I didn't imagine Doc Ock arms. I mean, not saying it's not going to be humanoid, obviously, but...
It's Hellboy. It's just the
I
ending
just
of Hellboy.
Look a little Phillip. More impressive, I guess. Than, well, I don't know.
All right. So, so we get...
And also, shouldn't Starfleet be alarmed? That the Tal Shiar have, like, a 500-vessel fleet. I mean, I just feel like, let's update the tactical threat, strategic threat of list when we get home to Starfleet. I'm throwing that out there.
They might, yeah. And I don't think O is in Starfleet anymore, just going out there, maybe.
Did she throw her pips down when she
left? Yeah, I think she's now reserve status Commodore.
Oh, okay. Doesn't he call her Commodore? Or he says whatever
he says
you're
Commodore
going by.
Commodore, General, or whatever you call yourself.
Yeah. I don't know the command structure
sub-general
names for the Tal Shiar.
It's been a while.
Sub-General. Okay, so we get the chat between Riker and Picard. He asked for... he's like, hey, guys, just filling in the plot. I asked for temporary reassignment. And just because I wasn't going to talk you out of it, so again, is this the fleet from Deep Space 12?
I assume the squadron of a million ships.
It's gotta be.
And I like, Riker's like, I guess that's it, right? Picard's like,
Picard's
pretty much
Picard's
it.
Like, I'm totally not dying, number one. You were good. Peace out.
Riker's like, are you
brother?
Sure? And, I could, beam down some people, build a relationship, do a first contact. No, you're good. Your ragtag team of five people got it. All right. Well, I guess we're done.
Yeah, that was really weird. There's no reason for them to leave.
It is so important
to
talk about this because this is how dumb the writing is. And I'm just going to say it because it's just dumb. Like, this writing are people who don't understand what, like, the Star Trek Federation idea.
Well, they're like,
means.
Well, they have to leave, Daniel, because if they don't leave and then Picard is dying, obviously they're going to help, and we don't want them to help. We want the synths to help. Right. So they have to leave.
So we just established this whole conversation between Riker and O establishes this colony as, like,
is a protected
protectorate.
Planet.
You would think they would leave a majority of their fleet there. Yeah. They leave in... Okay, hang on. Let's talk
about...
No.
It's even better. What if the tester just turned around and waits 5 minutes?
We totally knew they would do that.
They're cloaked. They were cloaked the whole time. Oh, we're an idiot.
That's the other thing, is every sensor known to man can see this fleet coming a mile away. Yeah. Like, there's no cloaking at all.
I want to talk about the logistics. Oh, the logistics it takes to get 200 Starfleet ships from Starbase 12 to this planet probably took longer to figure out than how long they were there for. They were there for less than 10 minutes.
They're self-replicating, so they start off with one ship, and about half a day later they have two, and then they have four, and then they have eight, and then by the time they get there, they have a massive fleet.
They were there long enough for Picard, or sorry, the whole fleet was there long enough for Riker to have two conversations, one with O, one with Picard, and that was it. And then they all just left. Why hell did they all just leave?
And they just leave, like, one science ship just to orbit the planet, you know.
Anything.
Or like you said, like a first contact specialist ship or anything. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just cracking up, though, thinking about the Tal'Shiar. Just like, okay, five.
I'll yell the oxen free.
Okay, turn around, come back. Yeah. And they're like, where are your rebel friends now, Captain Picard? How about instead of talking, we just shoot first and ask questions later? Good idea.
We'll go your way this time.
So, business friend to do. I mean, obviously, it's like a send-off.
Well, also, just to briefly interrupt, I thought, and again, we'll talk about things that had no payoff. There's a Borg cube on this planet, just throwing that out there. I mean, and I thought with the threat of the Romulans, what would be really cool, as we've been saying for maybe three or four episodes, is to see this Borg cube do some shit. Does this...
Yeah. Do something.
But, no.
It's been pointless.
Besides Crash.
The Borg on this show have been entirely pointless and have served no point. So, there it is. We don't know. They've done nothing.
They were vessels to convolutedly tell the story of the Zatvash and the Admonition.
They were set dressing. The Borg have been set dressing, and that is it. That there's no other purpose.
The population of Synth Planet has now gone up a couple. So, there's a new city of Borgville that...
Maybe. I don't know how many Borg are on the... Yeah, New Borgsville.
But they're not Borg. Those are ex... All the Borg have been shot out. Those are all...
Well, once you're a Borg, you're always a Borg. It's like the Marines.
When you're a Borg, you're a Borg.
As Seven pointed out, she's an XB, too. So, you know.
That's true. All right. So, but Flash, Picard collapses.
No. Picard's dying.
I'm so sad. Soji, you're not the Destroyer, is quite right. And then back on the station. Now apparently everyone's, I totally believe
Picard's
that Picard
dead,
would be dead forever,
he's dead.
Guys. He's totally dead. Look, they're crying about it. They're
the
super
season
sad.
Two renewal. I mean, they're gonna. It's a whole new character. I mean, it's called Picard. I mean, but we can call it anything.
It's really sad that they renewed it before this season even showed, because they obviously didn't know what was going on.
So we get two scenes of characters mourning, right?
Yeah, Rios and Seven, and drinking what passes for alcohol.
And then Elnor and Rafi. Yeah. But if we listen to what Picard, or what Data tells Picard later, no, sorry, I can't remember who says it later. But later on we find out that before Picard even dies.
Oh, yeah.
That soon.
Agnes.
Agnes.
And they beam him down.
So all these characters copy Picard's brain state and put him in the golem immediately before he even dies. So all these people,
pretty much,
all these people are mourning someone who probably will still live for them.
The timeline's weird.
I mean, he's dead. Everyone's really sad in that moment we saw, and Soji and Soon and Agnes all look at each other, give like the secret nod, and be like, "So everyone, we're gonna have a memorial over there, in the lobby. If everyone wants to gather right now, just keep on walking this way. Walk
let's
this
get
way.
The body
yeah,
over
we're gonna
here.
Move the body for no apparent reason.
We got a surprise and, at the end of this.
Emergency beam out to the lab.
Yeah. Okay, but let's talk about the charcoal Chateau Picard. So,
which I mean,
Picard
I
wakes
mean, this
up.
Is, this is really good stuff, to my opinion.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Let's get to that. So he wakes up. He thinks it's another dream. It'd be beautiful, like just the whole set, and the only real light source and color is the fireplace. Everything else is, and Picard's clothes, but everything else is gray
now,
and black.
So was it supposed to be Chateau Picard? I was actually getting And I didn't.
It was his.
It
study.
Didn't look like it. I'm with you, Daniel. It looked like something else.
What I was thinking, what it was Data's.
Oh, like Data's hologram program.
No. From
All Good Things.
From All Good Things.
From All Good Things. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, but I didn't.
It doesn't make any sense though if that is because that's an.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It says in Memory Alpha, it says the study of Chateau Picard. I think it was because it did look
okay,
like the layout was the same.
Fine. That's fine.
So he thinks he's having a dream. Data's there. He tucks that it's a massively complex quantum simulation hologram.
But from your perspective, Captain.
And the fact that, you know, Data is just a reconstruction. And we already kind of talked about all this.
I think an interesting thing after watching it, and I want to watch it more, is that, as you've said, Data doesn't actually know his death. I don't know. I don't know when his memory engrams end. That's precisely. I guess maybe just on the Romulan ship.
When he puts his memory into Beaver.
That's like 3/4 of the way through the movie. I mean, I'd have to watch it again, and I don't want to.
Oh, you're right. That's a good point. So it's his last refresh, his download.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point. But we get a lot of great moments of, them talking.
Picard has to explain the rest of Nemesis to him, and Data's like, it doesn't make any sense. And
without
like,
saying the word scimitar or Shinzon or,
But I like the moment where
it's all good.
Picard is like, I sacrificed myself, and Data's like, why do you not think like I wanted to sacrifice myself?
And I guess that was my question of when he's like, Captain, when you sacrificed yourself for Soji, was that, and I'm like, but did he though? Did he sacrifice? I mean, I don't want to ruin the scene because I like the scene, and the point is poignant that Data is making that Picard should not feel guilty. But I'm like, did Picard sacrifice really anything? No. Okay, whatever.
I'm also confused as to how he's aware of it.
That's a good question. You're right. No, it's fair. Picard's memories are, I don't know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Mixing, congealing.
Know. Yeah.
So they talk about the simulation, and Data explains that his memory engrams were recovered from a single neuron salvaged by Maddox, which makes it sound like from Data.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Who knows? Fill in your gap.
And the consciousness was reconstructed. I mean, it's obviously they're not saying, oh, we could just copy. They're making it clear that we can't copy this mind into the golem and have Data back.
Right. No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, this is a simulation.
Though it does make me, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Again, I'm thinking about that all these androids theoretically all come from this particle molecule synapse.
I think they do.
Because some of them are not really good. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm saying I think in some ways it's like the spark of life or the spark of. You know, the way it's situated.
Look, not all your kids are going to be awesome.
Brain.
But,
but he basically, and then Data asks him to deactivate him because he basically wants to be able to die. And that fleetingness of life is, what do you talk about? Butterflies? You know, if butterflies could live forever, it's not really a butterfly at all.
I mean, that's a philosophical point, and I'm not making fun. I just thought it was interesting to have the butterfly in his hand. I'm like, well, wait, what are the rules of this thing? But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But I think it's interesting that almost every – this is a slight exaggeration – that every heavy emotional moment that Picard and Data ever have is about death, or that Star Trek ever has is about death. Like, mortality plays very heavy, and I'm not saying it's not a heavy topic, but it always seems, whether it's Generations, whether it's, even Star Trek, two, whatever, it's always this mortality and ending a life and all that stuff. And so, and it's not said, but I assume even though Data is an android and certainly can keep himself busy, I suppose. I mean, it has to be a little form of torture there. I mean, he's in purgatory, basically.
Yeah, he can't die. He can't do anything. He can't go anywhere. You know, they talk about loving each other, which we all knew. Mm-hmm. You know, they're caring for each other. So then
Data is also aware and knows of this soon.
I don't care for your brother.
AI soon, yeah.
Which
we're an acquired taste, assumes.
Your brother.
Let me draw you a family tree, and it's like this crazy Kalto puzzle.
And then he holds his hand, and you're like, oh, that's what you're trying to do.
So then Picard wakes up inside the golem. He sees Soji, Jurati, and Soon. He's like, did you make me you know, they basically no augmentation, no superpowers. He's in a 94-year-old body.
I need to talk about that, I'm going to put a pin on that for a second and then skip to the next second of the date of a memorial. I just want to finish the data discussion before we go into ridiculous.
Okay, so, anyway, ending. So then he says yes, we'll you know, he's going to abide by Data's wishes, and we get the unplugging the three USB drives.
But they're really big USB drives.
So yeah, really big. Still totally Star Trek. So while Data's sipping some wine, listening to Blue Skies on the record player, and this was like my favorite shot of the whole episode where Data aged. Mm-hmm. And then you saw that as Dream Picard was next to him holding his hand, and it was really touching.
Like, it was.
Something about seeing Data die and look, or something about seeing him old and age look so much more natural than like the we're trying to make Brent Spiner look like he's 30 ever really did.
It's much easier
to
look like he's dead. Sorry, Brent. No, I'm kidding. I thought it was, and again, you know, Nemesis, obviously not my favorite. And you know, we can talk about Data's death and all that. Not now. In that. But, you know, in the list of Star Trek deaths that you could kind of go back and maybe, you know, punch it or do a little bit more, I thought this did not take anything away, obviously. You know, he's still dead. But it did give more closure and more...
Right. It wasn't the shock death of Nemesis.
Gave a chance to say goodbye, obviously, which is always good to have.
Yeah. But yeah, and so then, so yeah, so now cutting back to Picard wakes up.
I was also just, when I saw the person in red uniform, it took me a second to think that it was Picard. Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a little ego.
But it was like TNG Picard, like, it was his memory of Captain.
It's illegal. I mean, I know the show is called Star Trek Picard, but I mean, I guess, Daniel, if Data saw one last person again, should it have been Picard? Like, is it Yar? Is it Geordi? Is it, you know, I don't know. You know, because you don't have to show the person. In fact, if you don't show, it's obvious because you can't get them. But like, if someone was in a yellow top and, you know, an African American, and you're like, hey, was that Geordi? You know, that would have been something. You know, I don't know. You know, or Yar or something.
But then when it blended into the nebula, it would have been a yellow and purple nebula.
The thing here is that this entire series, all 10 of these episodes have built to this scene.
True.
It's all just a pretext to make this scene happen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as massive TNG fans, as people who love these characters, the scene is nice, and there's some good stuff in it. I just don't know if it's worth the juice is worth the squeeze. I don't know if we got enough out of it. I feel like the show now is almost like obsessive about the Data Picard thing. Like, I don't even know if Picard really loved Data. Like, he liked him a lot. He liked him as a subordinate. Like, he liked him as an officer. He respected him for sure. But like this weird like post hoc sort of thing that they've got going on. I don't know why we're doing it. Like, we don't learn anything from here from this that we didn't already know anyways. It's whatever.
It's a bit of, and I'm not trying to make it derivative, but it is Daughter of Data, you know, a sequel. But that you have to, you don't have to, but I'm saying this is what you have to deal with the legacy of Data, which I think is what, like you say, this first season's about, which makes me wonder what the second season theme's going to be. Because we haven't really, and you don't need to, we haven't really solved this whole Picard's failure of the Romulan evacuation. I mean, we've touched on it a little bit here, a little bit there, but like that's still, I mean, does he feel redeemed if that was supposed to be the theme, right? But anyway.
It's true. It's like that was the original theme, was the whole Romulan thing, but then they threw in the whole plot of the synthetics, and it kind of, there's like two competing.
I mean, did he save those people? Which you could argue that he did. But they didn't really make a meal out of it. Or, and let me say that a different way. They didn't really put the thematic emphasis as they have put in the Romulan failure to call it. Now, which, again, not his fault. But if we're saying it, you know, that's what it seems like, you know. So, like, the whole, like, at the end, like, they've lifted the ban. Good times. Everyone's good. Done. Tick. Bomb. Probably. Accomplished. I'm like, well, that was a nice bow. Okay. It happened much quicker than I thought.
So, it's a lot like... I don't know if you've heard the phrase the mile wide and inch deep, but that's kind of what they're always dealing with a lot of issues, but they'll never dig into any of them. The Romulans, the Borg, the synthetics even. We don't know what any of these things mean or matter or why they're important. They throw a bunch of things out, and then we never really dig into any piece of them. It's just...
Like the huge challenge of being a proponent for the XBs, that could have been a thing. I mean, that was a very nice... And I'm saying, again, Picard did not fail the Romulans. I blame Starfleet and stupid people. But as much as he feels like he did personally, then the XBs can sort of fill that hole, and maybe I can help this, but we don't get that. Or the synthetics, but we don't really get that either. But anyway, so.
All right. But yeah, but Picard wrapping synth. Up, so Picard's in his new synth body. He'll live for another 10 years or so. He's not immortal. They were all listening. Looking at us through the lens, fourth wall break kind of thing.
I mean, I don't know. Sorry, I don't mean to go. But I don't know. I'm sure Daniel has a one for this, but
maybe he can talk like in his mind to Soji now. Like they have a
can he
connection.
Click his head a little bit or something? Just to like, and I don't know. I just feel it's a little magic tribble, isn't it? I mean, the fact that like, okay, we transferred you, but there's no change, so really your death was really meaningless. But we reset the button. The only thing that's changed is you no longer have a brain thing that you're dying, because that was a really heavily emphasized thing this season, that you were dying. But don't worry, that's gone. And so the all good things, people, truthers, don't worry. You don't have to worry about Aeromotic syndrome anymore. But I'm like, I mean... Give him something. I don't. You know, it doesn't have to be like a thing he has to wear. Like, you know, where Seven had the thing over her eye. I mean, I know the technology is really good now. I just give me something to make him that he's a thin. That'll be. I mean, and I guess that's season two. But just give me something.
All right. So, wrapping up with our last shot, we're in the ship La Sirena. We're all together. Apparently, Soji is now going to join them and wander the galaxy because the synth ban's lifted. Apparently, that's not what season 2 is going to be about. Was stopping the ban. Yay. It's gone. Took one line of dialogue.
The Federation Council acts pretty fast, I have to say. So like
when you know 100 Starfleet ships show up and point their guns at you, the council moves fast. So I'm assuming that's what they did right after this. They just flew.
Captain
over
Riker
Earth and-
did the same speech that he gave the Federation Council in Insurrection. You know, he's like, it's me again. I'm back. You know the drill. Picard's back doing the thing. I'm here to give the, you know. Yeah.
So, anyway. But, yeah.
I know we end. Darren, you got to talk about these camera movements. We established that Rios and Agnes are the couple of the century.
Agnes, by the way, right? On the ship. No consequences. She's still...
Look, all the ships left. No take-backsies, apparently.
She's
so.
Still a murderer.
I mean, she's not saying she's a murderer, but if no one's going to arrest her, I mean, is it really her problem?
I guess we're fine with it now. Just like we knew they were going to just let it go, we're just fine with it.
I mean, technically, everybody on that ship are the only witnesses. So, like, if they're all agreeing not to prosecute, like, there's not much we can do.
You're in the clear, Agnes. You can be in season 2 now. I don't know why.
And then we...
You have Seven and
Raffi
playing Calto and holding hands.
And I get that we're supposed to glean, they're in a relationship now. But I'm like, I mean, and it, I don't have a, you know, whatever. I don't prep. I mean, Seven, it has been established, or you can read into it. You know, she had a relationship with dumb bar lady. Fine. So, but Raffi is left field. I mean, not that I have to track everyone's sexuality at all times, but I mean... We've established that she had a husband. I mean, I'm not saying she's not fluid and all that stuff, and that's fine. It's just like just random ass. I mean, she's just looking for a drinking buddy, I thought, but whatever.
We were joking that was how Seven distracts Kirk-Kalto players by holding their hands.
Yeah, the biggest problem is there's no build up to this. This is just completely out of nowhere.
It's just like the ending of Star Wars.
Why did we just do this? Okay.
Elnor's there.
I don't know. That's right. Well, we'll find out in season 2, whenever that comes out.
I was
out.
Waiting for just before the credits roll, Rios turns to Jean-Luc and says, you know the meter's still running, right?
Now, have they finished shooting season two?
Not that I know.
I don't even know if they've started.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean...
But I know it's been greenlit.
That's the use in pre-production? Anyway, because I know Discovery is the one that's currently on whatever queue.
Oh, didn't you see the Discovery season three piece before they put the the episode? Yeah.
All right.
Which my only complaint, and this is a Philip complaint, I get it. It's like, here's the Federation flag in disgrace. I'm like, yes, this is what you've been trying to do the whole time, so go ahead. They just want to tell a story without the Federation. I got it. Now you get to tell it. Have fun. It'll be great.
Well, there's a way you can do that. It's called not making Star Trek series. But anyway, so Daniel, if someone wanted to find out what your evil synth twin's name is, where would they find you?
They could find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in my evil twin would have succeeded on this mission. It's real easy at this point.
That's not a good thing. Though,
isn't there?
Daniel,
he's the evil one. Isn't their name Wa Daniel?
Nice. I like that one.
Oh, it's got a big fuzzy mustache.
The D is upside down on his hat. Yeah.
And Philip, if someone wanted to talk to you about your command of the 121st of the ships in the Federation Task Force fleet, it's really often overlooked. But I mean,
I was slightly out of formation. I don't think anyone noticed, though. I had some good wingmen covered up with for me. I mean, you see.
Were you just upside down and just wanted to see
if anyone
noticed?
I texted my mom before the show and was like, you're going to see me. I'm the one on the top, not the very top, to the left. And I have to point it out to her when we get home. But anyway, they can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about my cover of Blue Skies, they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi. D-R-I-S-C-I. Wait, no. D-R-I-S-C-F-I.
So that's the evil one.
Dr. Sci-Fi. Yeah. Oh, no, I could totally pronounce it. All right. Well, I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here. Oh, look, there goes the Starfleet fleet on City Alpha 3.